Our Father, we thank you that you have given us the Bible so that we can know you, so that we can truly know who you are, not just be left in the dark, but that we would know that there is a God who made us and we can know what you are like. We pray that you would give us wisdom. We pray that as we are in a world that is denying you more and more, that you would give us wisdom and the ability to answer that objection and that question. Lord, we pray that you would give us opportunities to talk to people about your existence. We pray that you would help us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like I already said, today we're beginning a new series, giving at least the beginnings of an answer to some of the big questions about God and about Christianity. Now, some questions that we'll look at have had oceans of ink spilled in debate, which means that we have no hope of answering these questions comprehensively. But hopefully what we will discover together will be satisfying and helpful, even if there are those sub-questions, those extra questions that you'd like to ask for more detail. And I'm happy for you to ask those questions and to have those discussions with you afterwards. But why are we doing this? Why this series? Well, two main reasons. Firstly, we want to answer the questions that people have. You might have been in church all your life and been too scared to ask these questions. Or maybe you're not from the church and you're curious about how Christians could answer these questions. So my prayer is that for the next few weeks that these will be helpful for you as we explore some answers. Now, second, if you're a Christian, we want you to be prepared for these questions when they come your way. Peter said that he wants us to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have. And so even if these aren't your questions, please listen carefully and prepare yourself to answer them when other people ask. And so today we're considering the big question, does God exist? Now, it's a big question with big implications. It has implications for things like purpose of life, for morality, depression and suicide, civility. It has implications over all these things and more. And we've seen a big shift in how people answer this question in the Western world. According to census data, the number of people in Australia who report no religion has gone from 0.8 in 1966 to 30.1% in 2016. 0.8% to 30.1% in 50 years. That is massive. That is a huge shift in society. And those numbers would be similar, I'm sure, in other Western nations. But that's not to say that this is a worldwide phenomenon. In the developing world, the various religions still hold a lot of sway. While in Australia, the number of people claiming to be religious, let alone Christian, has dropped dramatically, in other places it's growing. Why would that be? Why is no religion so high in the West, but not in other parts of the world? Is it because our society is so much smarter than theirs? We've thought of good objections to God that they just haven't thought of. Well, no, I don't think so. I don't think that we're more irreligious because we're smarter than them. I'll give the reason why I think we're so irreligious as a society later, but first, I'm going to try and answer the big question for today. And I'm sure my answer won't surprise you, and for many of you, you'll be glad to hear my answer. Does God exist? My answer is yes. Yes, God exists. And he is the God of the Bible. My prayer for this morning, if you are asking this question for yourself, is that you would find God in Jesus. Now, I'll be making two main points, which might be unexpected points for you. My first point is, we all know God exists. Hear that argument again from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 19. Margaret read that for us earlier. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. God has made it very clear that he exists. His megaphone is out, and he shows himself to everyone, from the smallest child to the bedbound and frail elderly person. All people have heard this message that God exists. And so why do so many people, maybe even you, say they have no religion? That they don't believe that there's a God, or they're not sure, they don't know if there's a God? Because, verse 18, they have suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. They have stuffed that truth down. They don't want to give it light. Now, I don't want to be insulting, but the idea given by Paul is that these people, maybe you, are walking around with their hands over their ears, desperate not to hear God's message from the megaphone. But it is a message that you just can't get away from. Look at verses 20 to 21 if you have Romans 1 open. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Everywhere you look, you see evidence for God. You see his power, you see his control, you know that there must be a God. Not one of us walked into this building this morning thinking, what an amazing natural formation of rock, glass, wood, plaster, and electrical wiring. Isn't it incredible what chance and millions of years can produce? No, none of us thought that. We all knew instinctively, even without knowing the name of this person, we knew that there was a designer, that this building was made. Most of us didn't even think about it, but we knew it. Those pews you're sitting on, they were designed and made by someone. The Bibles and the hymn books that we've been looking at had printers and authors and people who made the paper and designed the machines which put it all together. You know instinctively that there is a maker for all these things. The proof that there is a maker is the stuff that you see and feel. You see, we know it with these little things. But so many of us suppress the truth because we don't want to believe that there is a God who made us. We don't want to acknowledge it. We don't want to admit that we do know that God exists. We put our heads in the sand, pretending that the evidence isn't all around us, pretending that we ourselves, with our DNA, our beating heart, our inflating and deflating lungs, that they aren't evidence of a maker. Now, you might be here because you're curious about God's existence. And maybe you think, as you hear this, that you can poke holes in this argument of mine, this argument of Paul's. Okay. You might think that evolution makes sense, or at least that it's a possibility. Sure. But if there is one thing that you get out of today, I hope it's at least that you start to question that. Is it reasonable to think that this universe just sprang into existence out of nothing? Or is it more likely that there must have been an eternal being with supreme power? Those are our options. Which is more likely? Which is more reasonable? We've only been dealing with one argument for God's existence so far. We haven't even touched yet on Jesus' resurrection, which will be next week, or the existence of morality, or of suffering, which a lot of people use suffering to say that that's proof that there is no God, but I actually think it's evidence for God. Our reaction to it, at least, is evidence that there is a God. We'll look at suffering in 2 weeks' time, I think, but I hope you're at least awakened to this nagging feeling inside of you that there is a God and that you should know who he is. Because deep down, we all know God exists. We all know that we are made to worship something. But because so many of us don't want to worship the true God who made us, we find other things to worship. That's what we see in the rise of the so-called New Age spirituality. A week and a half ago, while we were on holidays, I went to Big W to buy a few things that we'd forgotten to bring camping. Always happens. While I was there, I went to the book section and I saw the fruit of a society that says with its mouth that it doesn't believe that there is a God, but knows with its heart that there is. A society that's made up who they want their God to be, instead of trust the God who has revealed himself in the Bible. I saw books on crystals, magic, tarot cards, star signs, communing with angels. For a world pretending to be so sophisticated that it doesn't need God anymore, it just can't help itself. We know something bigger exists. And so, like the pre-modern societies, we look at the stars and we ask them for guidance. We try to work out the future from them instead of trusting in the God who made those stars. First, we all know God exists. Second, we all know he demands something of us. This question isn't just something for the philosophers to work out, which has no impact on reality. And it's not just a question that has the potential to impact on the afterlife. It does impact on the afterlife, but it also impacts our lives right here, right now. And that's the reason, or one of the reasons, we suppress this truth that God exists. We don't want a God who demands something of us. That's why we like tarot cards and horoscopes and crystals. Because we think they don't demand anything of us. We want to be the masters of our fate. And if there is a God, we know that he won't let us be our own God. But let's look at what Paul said in his speech in Acts 17, verses 22 to 31. He's been invited to speak to the intellectuals. He's walked their streets. He's seen altars to all the various gods. But he noticed in verse 23, an altar to an unknown God. They were paranoid about leaving anyone out, offending any of these gods. But for all their religion, they still don't understand. They still don't know who God is. And so Paul tells them. He tells them what we've already thought about. That God made us. Verse 24, 25. God made the world and everything in it. since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. He gives to all life, breath, and all things. Just think about what God gives. In the Bible it says that he gives the rain and the sunshine, food and gladness. He clothes the grass of the field with flowers and he gives food to the birds who don't store up grain. Paul even says that he has determined where everyone would live. He cares for us. He provides for us. He made us, he cares for us, and now he calls us to repent. Verses 29-31, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we are his creatures, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. He has given us all we need to know. He has given us the creation. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Whenever we look up, we can't escape him. He's given us the Bible, which tells us clearly about him. And now he calls us to repent from our sin of rejecting him and ignoring him and making up our own gods, ones that we think are more convenient, that will bring us more happiness. Paul said in Romans that we suppress the truth about God in unrighteousness. We stuff it down because we don't want God. We trade him in for something else. We all do this. We're all guilty of it. And God warns of judgment if we don't turn away from our wrong thinking about him. For us to snub God is the highest crime of all. Jesus said in John 3:19-20, that people don't come to God not because they don't believe in him, but because they don't want their evil exposed. They want to stay in the dark, hidden. It's not that they don't believe in him, it's that they don't want to give up their sin. They like life the way it is. They know that believing in God, submitting to him, will completely change their life forever. And they foolishly think that their sin is better than God, who is the giver of every good gift. One day we will be in his courtroom. We will stand before him and give an account of our lives. And he won't accept excuses. There are no excuses for refusing to believe in this God, for making up a God of our own. He made us and he has cared for us all our lives. Those moments of awe that you've had when looking up at the night sky will testify against you that you knew there was someone greater than you. Those moments of thankfulness that you've had when something good, something amazing happened, which you just sent out that thankfulness into the ether, that will testify against you that you knew deep down that there is a good God who exists and who gave you something good. And Easter is the reason we can be so sure that we will face judgment. Because Jesus is the risen judge. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Now you might have reasons for saying why you don't believe. And so maybe you'd point to things like evolution or suffering or some issue with morality. But those things don't actually tear down the argument that God exists. He has shown himself. We all know God exists. We all know that he demands something of us to give up living for ourselves and instead to live for him. We all know that judgment is coming for those who don't do this. There is a judgment coming. You might not like to hear that, but it would not be loving of me to stand here and tell you these things without warning you about this judgment. A few weeks ago, I saw a video of some guys fishing in their little boat, and a speedboat was coming towards them. These men in this little boat, they were calling out for this guy to swerve, to stop. But the boat didn't, it just kept coming. And all they could do was quickly jump out of the boat before this speedboat just went right through them. The speedboat of God's judgment is coming. There is only one escape. Jesus. Easter is the reason we can be sure that we will face judgment because Jesus is the risen judge. But it's also the way that we can escape that judgment. Jesus was raised to life as judge after dying as the sacrifice. And so if you had come to him, repenting of your sin, of ignoring God, living life for yourself, doing whatever you want, all your guilt will be completely removed from you. Jesus will have taken your guilt and suffered for you on the cross. It won't be good enough to start believing that God exists from now on. God actually calls us to repent of rejecting him. Not just having the right thoughts now, but finding forgiveness in Jesus, his Son, and living with him as our God. Believing in God doesn't just have an impact on our life, on our afterlife, but it has an impact on the here and now. And so will you find God in Jesus? If you've come because you're curious about this question of whether God exists, my prayer is not just that you'll be convinced. I do hope that you'll consider what you've heard, that you'll think more deeply about God. Again, this is just the beginnings of an answer. There's so much more that could be said. But my prayer is that you go further. Not just that you'd think about God more or that you'd actually believe that there is a God, but that you'd really repent and find forgiveness in Jesus. That you would find God in Jesus and live for him. Stop living for yourself. Turn from your sin and find God in Jesus. Does God exist? Yes, we know he does. And he commands all men everywhere to repent. And so will you repent and find God in Jesus? I hope that you will. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us. We pray, God, for those around us, even those here this morning who have not actually come to you, have not put their faith in Jesus, who have not given up their old gods, their convenient gods, gods that that like what they do, who are happy with their version of morality. Lord, we pray that you would show yourself to anyone like that here. We pray that we would all repent of not trusting in the true God, and that we would find forgiveness in Jesus. Thank you for showing yourself in him, that he is the God-man. He is the Word made flesh. Our Lord, we pray that we would see many people coming to believe in this one true God. Please give us the ability to answer that question and that objection. And we pray that you would work in the hearts and lives of people. Lord, we suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We pray that your Spirit would be at work to bring that truth bubbling up in the lives and hearts of people. In Jesus' name, amen.